Hello and welcome. You are listening to the Leaders of Growth podcast, hosted by Arthur from Knight Capital. This is the first and only podcast dedicated to scaling a company across Series A to C. Today we are discussing customer success with our guest, Katie Christian, Head of Customer Success at Calendly.
I really appreciate that you want to contribute. Also really excited about the company and your background. Maybe you can share a bit about your background, the company you now work for, what you did in the past, your role, and how you relate to the topic of scaling.
Currently at Calendly, I joined the team in February and really building out our customer success function from scratch as Calendly scales into the mid-market and enterprise. The company when I started was at 35 million in February, and we've just hit 70 million, literally doubled this year. And a good portion of that is our focus on the larger markets. And so really focused on how do you take a product-led growth solution that's been built for the B2C market and slowly start to evolve that to fit the B2B market. And so the customer success team is coming in at a very critical moment for the business. We've grown the team from 3 to 11 just this year and have highly focused on onboarding, adoption, and really those two areas as we give an amazing feedback loop and data back to the business. So very strong voice of customer so they can help innovate and figure out roadmaps and just understand what are potential challenges, but also potential wins that we're not seeing in the initial go-to-market strategy. So that's where I am today. Previous to that, I was doing a bit of consulting just in the B2B space in between SalesLoft. So I started at SalesLoft back in 2014 as the seventh employee. We had 200K in revenue, I think, at that time. And 5 years later, when I left, we had 36 million. I really love the early startup phase. And so for me, really focused there. And then when Calendly opportunity came up, I was like, we don't have customer success and we're at 35 million. Okay, and what's the vision? Okay, where do I sign up, right? And so that's how I got to Calendly and really what we've done this year.
Wow, that's really exciting. I think also like COVID was a huge tailwind for you guys. And that so many companies had to realize that when working remotely, this is just one of the vital infrastructure pieces in collaboration, I'd even say. You've built so much experience over time in different companies and customer success, but what's basically your definition of customer success?
My definition ultimately is just, you know, proactive engagement and strategy that drive greater adoption, ultimately leading to greater retention and growth. You know, if we go into it with the focus of being specifically retention and growth, we miss that adoption piece. And a lot of people don't realize what levers they need to manipulate adoption. And sometimes you make the tiniest change and your growth soars. And so for me, it's all about adoption and how it drives those numbers. So I get pretty geeky with data and all of that. But for me, customer success is proactive engagement and the strategies all based around adoption that drive growth and retention to our North Star.
Okay, great. And in terms of departments, do you, if I would say customer service, onboarding, account management, do they all fall under that definition for you?
I think it depends on the company, right? But ultimately for me, when I think proactive, I think of onboarding, I think of account management, really investing in the relationship as where customer support is reactive. So we've got customers coming back to us and there are elements of support that can be proactive, the learning through reporting, but ultimately I would say support falls out of that. Professional services probably falls out of that because it's more reactive driven from the sales side, but ultimately onboarding, absolutely. Some type of company, some companies have training programs as well. So I'd say onboarding, proactive education, and then account management. Yeah.
Exciting. This year has been a crazy ride with Calendly, but also before. What were a bit of like the lessons learned from you when scaling such a fast growing company?
I think this year, especially during the pandemic, one of the biggest is to become overly reactive to outcomes. And so churn is spiking because of COVID, where companies are doing mass layoffs. one of my gut instincts that I always rely on is, well, why? And we go straight to customer interviews. So you can always look at all of the mess, but we go and we say, why is this happening? And defining that problem early and getting a very clear, simple sentence or small paragraph of why this is happening, we take it back to the business and we define, I said this in my SASTR presentation, but a clear strategy. So it's a 90-day strategy, something I can implement with frontline teams. So it can't be overly complex. And so even at Calendly, when we had initial COVID churn, because there was that reaction in the market, right? We actually went back and were able to engage with the majority of those customers and win them back just through having a simple conversation and understanding their business. It's taking the time to truly understand it and reach out to customers. I think a lot of times people say, I have a churn problem, Arthur. It's like, well, what does that mean? More often than not, you don't have a churn problem. You have an adoption problem where people don't see value in ROI. And so it's, how do you articulate that inside of your platform or through customer success managers? And so we want to focus. I try to always separate the outcome from the actual driver. Because if you're focused just on churn or on revenue growth, you don't understand how you actually get there. My big thing is figuring out what are the drivers of those outcomes. Most businesses go really deep in creating onboarding and a customer success team and renewals, but they don't understand the drivers and how to actually manipulate them. And I think you just get really big teams that are unsuccessful. We start lean, learn a lot, and then once we've proven that out, we build on top of that. And so it's a very profitable customer success organization.
Yeah, I so much agree. Yeah? So you mentioned before that just tiny tweaks here and there can really go like a long way. And it was really the case, I think, with what you do. By first understanding, you can make little tweaks and then you might prevent churn rather than only looking at loss reasons, for instance.
100%. And when, especially when you're in that 2 to 5 million, when you think about it, you don't have a lot of employees. So what can you actually do to make a big impact? And so a lot of people will say, oh, I'm going to send out an email and I'm going to request a call. There's one of you. And how many customers? At that point, hopefully a few. But we used to do things like webinars or short mini ebooks that would provide high value for folks, but they could consume it in the masses. Whenever teams are starting small, I always say, focus on how you could serve multiple people at once. Take the knowledge that you have, get on a webinar, do a Zoom call. So we do Zooms with our customers and it's optional and it's, you know, a sales strategy for Calendly. 30 people will join. That costs us an hour of your time, but you're touching 30 customers, right? And driving strategy, driving connections. And so always add value. And I think that we forget, we show up with a mission, but what value can they obtain? And I think a lot of the times that's just missed. It's more about what the company wants versus the value being given to customers. And so everything we do today, for the most part, I'd say 95%, is value driven. And I always ask my team, what's the value prop? And they roll their eyes. But now they come to me and they're like, Katie, what's the value prop? And I'm like, oh, you're smart. So it's just, what's that value and how are you articulating it? In my SASTR podcast, I also say, what's your ROI number? And so at Calendly, we calculate the total amount of time saved in a year based on the total number of meetings you've scheduled. And so it takes time to find that number. It took us a good bit this year, but with your product or service, what's your ROI metric that you can share with customers? How do you build an ROI calculator so you can use that in the sales process as well, or even online as an inbound form? Especially as you move up market, it's all about the numbers. It's all about the data. We have a customer that we met with yesterday and they actually saved 2 years worth of time with their sales team using Calendly in one calendar year during a pandemic.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's one of those things where I always tell new CS leaders, find that metric, find your North Star, because it changes everything. The retention conversations, churn conversations become much easier, or you don't even need to have them, because people understand the value. And ideally, eventually product builds that into the product.
Can you also see some patterns in terms of like when you scale a company, what are some growth pains or some challenges, so to speak? And how do you advise to deal with that?
Yeah, so one of the early things that I realize is folks often want to segment very early. and your customer base isn't that large. And so early in my career and in my consulting, there was always a driving force from an executive to segment. I want to segment my customer base. And it was like, okay, tell me why. And so if you're a CS leader, ask why, ask how. Simple questions, and people get frustrated sometimes, but what's the desire to segment? Again, what is the outcome you're hoping the segmentation is going to drive? And then work backwards. And so Arthur, that would be the first that I see. I do a lot of half an hour consulting calls, and there's just not clarity around what their function does. And so I think the clarity is important. And in the SaaStr podcast, I talk about defining what that strategy is and then working back. So defining the outcome and how you're going to measure that, working then off of how you're going to try to navigate that. So is that emails? Is it webinars? And counting the actual activity, building reporting for that, and then building in the engagement off of it. So you have from the how all the way to the outcome outlined in reporting, and you can see what's working and what's not. And you can pivot.
You work now in PLG environment, and in the past you worked more like in the sales-led environment. How would you interpret that, the last comment basically for a CS leader in a sales-led organization where the quantity of customers is a bit smaller?
Honestly, I think on the B2B side, it's a little bit easier because the whole business is aligned to serving a particular customer. There's a whole go-to-market strategy around that. And so I think for customer success, I would say align with marketing, really understand personas, buyers, things of that nature. Product-led growth, you start typically on the B2C market, solo, you know, users and things of that nature, and you eventually have to scale. And so the business is aligned from a B2B perspective, and you have to have really strong voice of customer insights to service back, to influence product and things of that nature. But I think the level of influence is already much higher because everyone is aligned to the same buyer or buyer profiles. I would say for CS leaders, rely on the data, partner internally with marketing, data analytics, if you have it, and get 2 to 3 key data points. Have your outcomes, but also know your drivers. I always say the number one job of customer success is feedback to the business. You can't prevent churn if the product isn't built in a certain way. But the one thing we can do is always communicate and over-communicate and utilize solid voice of customers. I still think that customer success is viewed as a one-size-fits-all at times, and especially in that 2 to 5 million range, like CS will solve it. And that's why you have to be very clear early on, what do we do? How will we scale this? What is the problem we're trying to solve? And I always say too, a lot of stages when you get to 2 to 5, they say, oh, we need a customer success platform. I'm like, okay, great. What's the strategy? Have we proven that yet? A customer success platform isn't going to solve your churn problem. If you don't know how to solve it yourself, the platform's just going to give you more data. But the strategy has to come from within. And so I always say, let's solve it. Figure out the strategy, and then you bring in the CS platform to enforce it.
I really like that comment that it's about solving the business issue, just the same that marketing automation in itself doesn't solve your distribution challenge. And if we make a bit like the step in towards scaling customer success, we can think about, for instance, team structure or incentive structure or basically processes, like from a very broad perspective, like how do you look to scaling customer success? Where does it start? What are the stages? And what are the aspects that you look into?
I always start with a customer success manager doing everything from onboarding to renewal for at least the first year to try to understand truly the entire onboarding experience. And so if a CSM is running point on a particular customer or account, they're going to have the insight and knowledge of truly what's happening within that organization. And so early on, sometimes people will break it out, as you said, into onboarding and account management. As you're building a team from scratch, my blueprint is always to have the CSM do the whole thing for at least the first year and a half. So we get really good data and a consistent experience. Today at Calendly, my team manages onboarding through to renewal. And in 2021, we're talking about now potentially breaking it out because we've really learned more about onboarding and what those needs are, and sometimes how they're more robust than what we can currently provide. And I think sometimes we create silos within customer success too early without fully understanding the customer. And so my blueprint is you have one CSM start a year, however long you need to validate. But then I have broken it out. So I would typically do onboarding, account management, and then typically, it depends where this would fall. Sometimes it's customer marketing and it rolls up under marketing, but there's an education piece and proactive communication that falls in. And that can sometimes be under CS or under marketing, depending upon the leadership of a business. And so when I think about the blueprint, that would be it to start out one role, and then you break into the smaller functions with a very specific focus. Customer success operations comes in as you start to specialize, you know, in a really strong focus on data as well as process and systems management. So at that point, if we're specializing roles, we're probably getting a customer success platform and you need some help there, unless your CS leader is highly technical. And then I think bonus structure and commission really depend on the business. And I've seen this fluctuate a lot across the industry. Some folks will stick to an overall company bonus structure. And so one of the things that I've really loved about Calendly, and I've seen this a few other times, is everyone in the business's bonus is tied to customer metrics. And so if the customer is successful in scheduling meetings and we have high adoption, we've set certain goals throughout the year, each quarter. And when customers attain those at 100%, everybody gets their bonus at 100%. Commissions, I would say, not till the team is mature and you're really understanding if they're actually driving revenue. If you think about Calendly, we have very high growth in general because it's a product-led growth business. So while my team has positive net expansion every month, I can't quantify just yet, is that the CSM or is that just the beauty of our product? And so we're not there on the commission side yet, but I think as your team becomes more sophisticated and you have more data, you'll know if someone's driving revenue or if it is the business model itself.
Yeah, very valuable advice, because this is like very easy to overlook. And what I like about your approach is that you build the data first in order to, and also by then have the context of your business and then be able to make back the right decisions, rather than just only relying on benchmarks and industry best practices. Do you look also at to evaluate your team? Are there any metrics at all that you think are really stand out and that people should measure as CS leaders?
Yeah, so my team today has two leading metrics. They have overall retention, quarterly and annually. And then we track adoption for monthly active users and then quarterly active, because there are some seasonality trends that impact Calendly. And so with that, there are a lot of other metrics that align. But from a CS productivity stance, so those are our leading team, what we look at on a quarterly basis is what percent of customers in their book of business they engage with and what percent of revenue they engage with. And so you're going to have some CSMs, Arthur, focus on a subset of X customers, and then you're going to have others who go really wide with a minimal touch. And we track a few different adoption metrics that are specific to Calendly. We can see those that go deeper initially drive greater results towards the end of the year. And so we've started to switch around our business model and understand how many customers are touching. What does that activity look like? I track everything, emails, calls, you know, duration and all of that, to know for our average customer in, you know, we do have segments. So I joked about that earlier, but we do have them. So in our first segment, how much time do we spend in a year with that particular customer? What we have on paper says X, but reality is Y. And what's the difference? And are we seeing the outcome that we wanted? And so little things like that, because what we write down as a plan sometimes doesn't actually come to fruition. And so knowing the data and saying on average, we're spending, you know, 5 hours with this customer per quarter. And it's like, well, why? What are we talking about? If it's product related, we've got product gaps that we need to solve, right? And so we have, if we're running calls, there's a call field for what type of call. And so we found out in Q2 that our team was spending a lot of time talking about product. And in that, we started to document and get really good feedback. And now all of those items are either been built out by our product team or they're on our Q1 roadmap. So we're solving for that. And so what are the CSMs doing and how do you give that feedback to the business? So I track activity data, the engagement in their book of business, product feedback. Having a really good product feedback process is important. We track all of that through Salesforce, and it goes into a Slack channel, into our AHA for our product team. But for the first time, we were able to look at CS engaged counts, and we said we have X amount of customers totaling X million of dollars that all need this one feature. And they said that it's preventing them from growing with Calendly. And we documented how many users they said they would add if we had this feature. Our product team and our CEO's eyes got very big and said, we need to build that, right? And so it's doing the full step of the way, just as I outlined. This is the time we spent, here is the feature, here's where they're blocked, but also here's the growth potential. And that growth potential is what gets people talking and people typing and coding.
I really like this approach, because you don't become like, you really position yourself so in the center of the business and basically contribute strategically to it. Also, what I like is that you really look to product metrics. I was expecting totally different metrics where you would look at, but in your whole story, it makes so much sense.
And that's the big thing too. You have to speak to product because they care about adoption, but you have to speak to sales. And so we bring the revenue number, we bring the adoption metrics, and then everybody is aligned, because we all want the business to grow, and we know that product needs this, sales needs this, and customer success just wants it built. So we've got to learn in success how to influence others in the organization and be students of the executive leaders in that function. In the first 2 months at Calendly, I met with every member of our product team and I said, what's most important? How do you define success? What does that look like for you? And then everything I position now is aligned to that, so it catches their interest.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, is there something that you'd like to share that they did not ask for?
I think the big thing is keep it simple. When you're starting out in that 2 to 5 million, you've got to be very strategic, very focused. And a lot of times our eyes are bigger than our stomach. And we don't think about tactical execution. And so I always try to say 90-day sprints. If you were to prove something in 90 days, what would that be? How would you do it? And how would you measure it? And then from there, once you prove it or you don't, then you know how to scale it. And I feel like where I've had the most traction in my career is moving away from the long-term plans, getting into the 90-day or 120-day plans, proving ROI very quickly. And people go, this is what we can do? I didn't realize that. It's just being very clear, though, about the metrics and everything that we talked about earlier. But that plan, 90-day window, what does that look like and what can you achieve? And be realistic. You have to be realistic.
That's definitely totally on point. To round off, is there any advice or content recommendation that you have for the audience? How can people find you online?
Okay. Well, they can find me on LinkedIn at Katie Christian, and there's a lot of content that they can read through. I would say if they're new to customer success, find a forum on LinkedIn to connect with and build their community.
Thank you for listening. If you want to get access to the summary of this interview or the Leaders of Growth book, go to leadersofgrowth.co. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next time.